place you do tonight.
Lord, save me. I remember that day. I remember that day. Hey, I hate to cut that off, but here I am, and I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you, and we will be back to that. I promise you, we'll be back, and we'll have more of that. And welcome to this telecast, broadcast, radio. All of my radio friends, welcome. Oh, we love our radio family. We have a huge radio family, and we really do love them. They are very important to me, very important to me. And we don't only love our radio family, we also love our internet family, and now we love our Facebook, and I hear some kind of noise. I'm trying to figure out what it is. I don't know whether I'm just too loud, and I've been there before. I have a tendency to be too loud. But maybe that's just the way it's supposed to be. I hope it is. Hey, blessings to you. And God bless your heart. I want you to know something. You are my friends, and I love you. I had my Facebook here ready to go in case I didn't get the other working. You know how it is, and that's probably where my noise was. Hey, welcome. It's a joy. It is a joy for this telecast today. Now, I want you to really get involved. I want you to call your friends. Number one. I want you to call every one of your friends. They are very important. We want them listening today. And I mean that. I'm cutting off everything that may not, shouldn't be on in case that little roar that I hear may be something that I can get rid of. Listen, you are a friend. We are delighted you are here and part of us. And if we can make it a blessing to you, we shall be a happy people. Now, two things today. I'm going to do two subjects at one today. My Bible subject is nailing self to the altar. Nailing self to the altar. I don't think there's ever been a day when self needed to be nailed to the altar any more than self needs to be nailed to the altar today. We've got to get close to the cross. We got to get back to the centrality of Jesus Christ and his death and the saving blood and a sanctified life and living in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to get back to that. I don't know anything America needs like a Holy Ghost revival. I've been saved 64 years, and I've never seen a day when wickedness was so apparent in so many ways and making such a ring around the world. And my heart breaks with it. But I also have got to deal with this election next Tuesday. I'm telling you, don't let me hear nobody say, I'm a Christian and I can't vote for anybody. Listen to me. Let me take you to the Bible. Jesus settled that question a long time ago. He really did. I hope I didn't lose it. No, I didn't. Here it is. In the book of Mark, chapter 12 and verse 16. And they brought it, this is a piece of money to pay taxes, and he saith unto them, whose is this image, an inscription, a superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Now listen. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Now, that's beautiful because they were marveling at the wisdom with which he spoke. When he separated clearly their responsibility to government and authority on earth and their responsibility to government and authority in heaven. You have a responsibility to vote. You have a duty to vote. Don't tell me you're a Christian if you don't go vote and try to direct your nation in the best possible direction. You have a responsibility to do that. You know why some people don't vote is because they're so stinking self-righteous. They are so holier than everybody else and everything around them that they can't even help direct the course of their nation. Oh, come on, my friend. Come on now. Every one of you that claim to be a born-again Christian, you get yourself ready to get out there and vote, okay? You have a responsibility. And you have a responsibility to vote for the platform, not the person. What is their platform? Are they going to stand up against killing unborn babies? Are they going to try to stop taxing you to the very depth of your capacity? Are they going to create a globalistic world system? Are they after being part of the Antichrist? What kind of power do they want over you? Do they want big government that controls you? Or do they want to give you independence to serve your God and to serve your Christ and to be a part of your nation, the great nation of America? I know we got a lot of sins, and I'm aware of them. But I'm also aware that we got a lot of good people. I got five things before I go to nailing self to the cross, and that's primary today. But before I go to it, I'm going to give you seven reasons the Lord will give us the victory on this coming Tuesday. Seven reasons the Lord will give us the victory on this coming Tuesday. I've got someone calling me. I'm on the radio, and so you can turn to radio and hear us today, okay? Turn to radio and listen. People call me during the program often, and I usually tell them, get on your radio and listen to the radio broadcast. How about that? Well, might as well take use of the call and make sure they know they can hear the program. Seven reasons the Lord will give us the victory on Tuesday. A great number of our people that hate abortion and hate destroying babies in the womb. That's number one. We got a crowd of people out there that hate abortion, that hate the killing of unborn children. Number two, many of our people stand against sodomy and homosexuality, that dark way of living. They stand against it with a tall voice. Number three, a multitude of men and women, husbands and wives, who are faithful to one another, who believe in the sacredness of marriage, and who stand faithfully to their husband and to their wife. I'll tell you some things about that, how beautiful it is. And then there is millions of us that do not lie and do not cheat and do not steal, and we honor the commandments of God to be pure in our lifestyle. America's got a lot of these people, folks. Please listen to me. A whole multitude. And then we have this great number of people who defend Israel and who want to be, who want to stand with Israel and stand behind Israel and care for the Jewish people who happen to be the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And number seven, we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that He alone is the Savior. He alone can change your life. He alone can make you a new person. He alone can do those wonderful things. And those are seven reasons why I believe God is going to honor us and give us the right choice on this coming Tuesday. Don't you think that's good? I hope you think that's good, because I think that's good. Now, let's go to the Bible and let's talk about this idea of nailing self to the cross. And I'm going to open the lines in a minute, and you can ask me questions about the election, or you can ask me questions about the subject at hand, or today. I will honor any question you want to ask me. Any question you want to ask, I will do my best to honor it. Now, I may not take as much time with a question that's way off the subject as I would with those that really help teach people what I'm trying my best to teach people. Now, if you on Facebook, I want you to mash that little button called share over there and share this with everybody that's part of your family and your friends, okay? Will you do that? I'd like to have 100 shares today during the broadcast to bring as many people in. Wouldn't it be something if we got to have a thousand views before the program is over today? I looked at last week and it had finally reached about 600, right at 600 views from the telecast on. This is just Facebook, okay? I don't talk about the internet or the radios and all of that. Those who go to internet to see it, or those who go to the YouTube to see it, just Facebook was about 600. And I think that's grand, but it ought to be 2,000 or 3,000. It really ought to, and you can help me make it that, because we are trying to get the message to everybody we can. That's all I care about anymore. I'm 80 years old. My wife just turned 82. I'll turn 81 shortly. And I want to tell you something. We just sold out for Christ. We're sold out for Jesus, and we love America. We love our nation. We love our nation. We love morality and clean living and pure living. We love faithfulness of marriage. We love men and women who are faithful to their husbands and their wives. We love people who don't want to kill unborn babies, who stand against sodomy and those kind of dark sins that will destroy our nation to the core. And you've got to hear me when I say that. Now, let us talk a moment about this business of being a disciple of the Lord. Jesus said, listen now, book of Matthew, chapter 16 here, and verse 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, that's Jesus. Any man will come after me, and again I say that's Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do you hear me? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Listen, for whosoever shall save his life, whosoever shall save his life, that means keep it for himself, that means selfish living, that means living for one's own future and one's own profit and one's own value. For every man that shall save himself shall lose it. You will lose your life if you try to keep it selfishly for your own being and your own doing. You will lose your life if you live a selfish life. Do you understand? You will lose it. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. I got to read that again. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, if you really want to find life in its fullest, life in its grandest, life in the most wonderful living you can ever know, give it to Jesus. I mean, give it to Jesus and let him take hold of the helm of your life. And you walk with him and you obey him and you love him and you live according to his word. And I promise you, you'll have the best life it is possible for you to have. And I promise that with my heart. For what is it? And listen, and what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? His own soul. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can a man give? What shall a man give? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul. Man, I want to say that until everybody out there hears me. What do you give? What do you want in exchange for your eternal soul that shall live forever, where the soul shall never die? I'm an old man, see, 80, and I remember my dad listening to the Grand Ole Opera. And one of the songs they used to sing on the Grand Ole Opera is "Where the Soul Never Dies." Where the soul never dies. I guarantee you, you young whippersnappers out there probably never heard it. But it's a good one. "Where the soul of man never dies." All of you old timers that remember that, just, you know, be nostalgic for a moment and remember that. I remember a lot of those good old songs that they played back then that were really had a Bible message, and I still love them. I really do. Oh, I love to get with somebody, Brother Billy Harris, before he died and went on to heaven. He'd come to our retreats, and after the service was over, he'd take his guitar and sit around, and all of us in great big circles, you know, a gob of people, usually 50 to 100, and he'd start singing some of those old songs that we remembered years ago. A bunch of us are old-timers, you know, and I'm telling you, they were beautiful, and they still are. Now, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What if somebody said, "I want your soul, and I want to do with it what I want to do. I want to make it the property of the world and the property of Satan. And I want your soul, and I want to buy it. And I'll give you any price you ask me for your soul." What would it take to buy your life? What would it take? Would it take what Elvis Presley? He sold his soul to be a famous singer. There's a multitude out here. Hey, by the way, he was raised in a church just like our pastor. Elvis Presley was raised in a church just like our pastor. Do you understand that? But he sold his soul for rock and roll. Hey, that matches, don't it? He sold his soul for rock and roll. And there's many of you who are selling your soul for rock and roll. Now, this is a big day, and this is an important day, the Election Tuesday. And I want to tell you, we are winning. We conservatives who stand for the right platform, a conservative platform, we're winning. I really see that. In fact, let me tell you what you can watch for. On Tuesday, as the votes begin to come in, you remember what the poll was about North Carolina. Let's say North Carolina goes down as 4 points for Trump. 4 points for Trump. I'll guarantee you, when the vote is finally counted, it'll be 8 or 10 points for Trump, because they are giving these polls with a bent about 5 or 6 degrees towards Hillary. That's what the polls are doing. They're showing a bent toward Hillary of something like 5 to 6%. Now, you watch me. You watch for Tuesday, and you watch what I'm saying, and I'm here to tell you, I've been telling you for 12 years, I remember writing the article, "Hillary Clinton will never be president of the United States." Still got that article. If you want a copy, you can get a copy. Don't mind you having it. And I've been telling you all during the season this year, she's not going to win, and I'm telling you again today, she's not going to win, and I'm telling you of this bent, and you just watch the vote, and pray. Don't think anything is cheap. Don't think anything comes to us by accident. Don't think anything that happens is just a fate thing. No, no, no. God is in charge of this world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He puts down one and sets up another. The political world is not amiss from him, not separated from him. He's in charge. And I'm promising you, God is faithful to his people. Now, I want questions and answers on either of these subjects. Please do that quickly. Grab your phone, 704-30. Let me put the numbers up. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I'll get up here over that a little bit, okay? So you don't miss me. I want you to see Brother Chambers. Well, I didn't get that done. Here I go. Now I can do it a little better. 704-391-0588. You see the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884, and then international number. You may be in Australia. You may be in Ukraine. You may be in South Africa. I got a call this week from, what was that country in Africa? I forgot now. And they wanted me to come be their speaker at a meeting. I said, I can't come. I'm too old for that. I have to stay with my wife and take care of things here at home. And I don't have the money for things like that. And I said, but you got us on the internet and you got all this good material we're sending you. And I mean, there's 700-800 programs on the internet. There's 700-800 sermons on the internet. There are articles voluminous on the internet. And all you got to do is get on it, www.paulcreek.org. And if you don't want to, if you're in a hurry, just put paulcreek.org, PawCreek.org, PAW, no capital letters, just all lowercase, paulcreek.org. And you can get all kinds of good material. We want to bless you. We want you to grow. We want you to become usable to God. It's later than you think. Are you hearing me? Am I screaming at you? Well, a little bit. I have a tendency to do that. My wife's always telling me, Dad, don't be so loud. I don't know how to be anyway, but loud, you know. But Jesus is coming, and we're leaving. How did you know that? Jesus is coming. Have you wrote down those numbers? I'm going to give you another minute, then I'm going to erase them because it's a little bit annoying when it stays up there. 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. Hurry now. Get them written down, and the lines are wide open for you to call. 1-800-338-7884. Local number 704-391-0588. Hey, you can email me. And questions, I'll go there in a little bit. JRC@paulcreek.org. JRC@PAWCREEK.org. All lowercase. Okay? Want to hear from you. You're important. Want your question. And I want to make sure you're voted. I wonder how many out there have already voted. And how many are going to wait and get in those big old lines on Tuesday? And you're going to stay there. I don't care if it's raining. Take an umbrella with you if it's raining. And don't you move until you get to that voting booth and that you vote, okay? I'm after you for that. Christians that don't vote really, really disturb me highly. I just don't think they're real Christians. I think they're just too, either they're so overly, you know, self-righteous, or they're so underly righteous. They either, you know, on the lower side or the upper side, and so they can't get in here in the middle of life where good people live. You know, the Bible said it's using the world, but not abusing it. The Bible tells us that we're to live with our eyes on the goal, but we're salt and light in this earth. We're here to make a difference. We are here to make a difference. I may be 80. But as long as I live, I'm going to be doing my best to make a difference. The Holy Ghost woke me up last night. I'd already come up to the church and prayed a while and had a great prayer. And then I went home and rested a little bit. My wife came in. I left to hold her hand a while. And we held hands a little bit. And then we went to bed. I went right to sleep. I mean, I really did. And about 11:45, I woke up and I knew I had to pray. I knew I had to pray for my nation. So I got up and went in my sanctuary, I call it my Holy of Holies, that's my library. I went in there and I knew I had to put it on the Facebook. So I put on Facebook what the Lord was saying to me. And I mentioned a little bit of the scripture. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. The rulers of the darkness of this world. And so the Bible tells us what to do with this rulers of the darkness of this world. And this is why you have to take a stand. This is why you have to be involved. Let me read that verse to you. Listen to me now. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Notice this. Against the rulers of this world. The rulers of the darkness of this world. See? Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. There are rulers who are part of this darkness. And I'm telling you, Miss Clinton is one of them. And the Democrat operatives are another. And the liberal Republicans are another. And the hostile media is another. The world is full of evil people. And demons are everywhere, folks. And they're doing great damage. And I'm telling you, you need to pray. You see, that's what the Lord had me doing. I was praying. I was praying against the powers of the darkness of the rulers of this world. Did you know that? You say, I'm not against nothing. If you're not against the darkness of the rulers in this world, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you are a Christian, you are against darkness. You're against evil. You're against the killing of unborn children. You're against all that ugly stuff. You really have to be, friend. I mean, God has called you to be a light for him. And then I use the verse, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's praying. Praying. And so I had a good time praying, put it on Facebook, and maybe you've seen it there. It's had close to 30 shares, been going everywhere, and I wanted to continue. I wanted to continue, and every one of you listening to me, you must, when this program is over, go and share it and get it to everybody and get them understanding that we are prayer warriors, and we know we're going to win Tuesday, but we don't take that for granted. We're under the burden. We're under the intensity of it. The devil is trying to turn things every moment. He's trying to win this victory every moment of the day. And he's going to fight until the last vote is counted. But I'm going to pray and depend on God until the last vote is counted. Now the lines are open and we're ready to take your calls. I'm giving you today this wonderful booklet on nailing self to the altar. Nailing self to the altar. A wonderful book. Every Christian out there, if you want to be what a Christian ought to be, if you really want to get yourself on the altar and get yourself under the blood and under the sanctifying, I'm sorry. I'll be all right. Give me a minute. And you want to get yourself where God can use you, I want to give you this booklet. I want you to give it. I want to give it to you for your pastor so he'll preach it. This ought to be preached in every pulpit. I basically preached it last Sunday morning here at Paul Creek. I really did. Not by this outline, not by what I've got in this article, but similar. And I'm telling you, the day is such that we've ever walked with Christ, we need to walk with him. So I want to give you that booklet. Grab your phone, 1-800-338. Don't just sit there. Get your phone. All of my Facebook listeners, you can use your phone while you watch Facebook and see and hear everything I say and do. Won't take you but a moment. Tell the ladies what you want. You want this booklet. If we don't have your address, give them your address. If you want to make a donation, I really need some help financially in the next days. I have got to have a supernatural miracle financially. I'm on my face praying for it. But you can help answer my prayer, okay, and be a part of it. And I'm believing God to get a hold of your heart and to help you, okay? Let me move those numbers now, and I'm waiting for your call. I'm waiting for your call. I want you on the line, and I want to be a blessing. You'll have to bring that to me, darling. I cannot read it that far away. All right. Let's see now. Phone number is still up. Phone number still up. She wants me to keep the phone numbers up, I guess. Or maybe she was telling me they were still up and they're down now. I took them down while she was standing at the door. All right, grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704. I don't want to waste another minute now. I've laid out for you the spiritual subject. Nailing self to the altar. Living under the power of the cross. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me. I want you to know being crucified with Christ is a wonderful life. Wonderful life. And then, of course, the election Tuesday. Let's have some calls about voting. What is your question? Why should a Christian vote? That's a good question. I'd love to answer it. I dare you to call me and let me answer it. I want to tell you why a Christian should vote. I really do. I want to tell you why a Christian should vote. Now, I'm going to go here to my emails and see if there's any questions. And there are. Okay, here we go. I voted the other day. I voted for conservatives and Republicans. At the same time, I've seen many discussions on TV about how Hillary has the Electoral College already won. What will you say if Hillary wins? Well, she's not going to win. You know, that's all I know to say. What else can I say? She's not going to win. Somebody wants to know, what am I going to say if my faith fails? No, my faith's not going to fail. I do not believe she's going to win, and I cannot say that. Now, I've always been willing to admit my mistakes and that I'm not perfect. And believe me, I don't consider myself perfect. All right, let's go back here. Here's a question about sin. I had a man recently say that we believe in Jesus, but he was just not really ready to give up smoking marijuana and sleeping with his girlfriend. What Bible verse can we use to convict him of his sins? Well, first thing you got to do is you got to get him to listen. A man who's living on marijuana and sleeping in fornication with his girlfriend is a raw sinner. And he's not going to understand anything until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him. And so you need to pray for him. I mean, pray for him with all your heart. Call out his name to the Lord and believe God to hear you. And then you need to take the Bible and show him. The scripture I just read is about as wonderful as you could read in the book of Matthew. I absolutely love it. And Jesus said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He's got to deny the marijuana and he's got to deny the fornication life. And he can't come to Christ till he does. So show him that. That's in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, 25, 26. I mean, but people like that are not going to listen to the Bible. Tell him that Jesus died for him. Quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. That's the first thing he needs to hear. It really is. Now, let me see if there's any more here. I am waiting for you, okay? So grab your phone and call me. I believe that's all I can see right yet on the email. I want to hear from you. Call 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, what do you think about the election? How many of you can believe what I believe, that Hillary is not going to be elected, that we've got to turn America back to God? I gave you seven reasons that God's going to honor us. Seven reasons that God's going to honor us. And I really believe when I say God's going to honor us, that God's going to honor us. I really do. I believe he's going to give us a wonderful victory, and all of us are going to be grateful, and we're going to thank God, and we're going to turn America around. America has been going toward hell for days. Have you watched what Hillary did at one of her concerts? Was it last night or night before last? I don't watch them, so I'm not sure. I just heard it. And the group she had singing for her, and some of the words they used, the F word and the N word, I mean, right in the song on a campaign trail. Why don't the news media call that out? If others on the conservative side say anything that they can make an issue out of, they're ready. So why don't they make an issue out of things like that? I don't understand. Except they are liberal themselves, and they don't really have a good concept of the whole situation. Now grab your phone. I'm gonna wait on you. Have you voted? Hey, you may want to call and say, hey, Reverend Chambers, I have voted. That'd be a witness to others who have not voted. And if there's anybody out there that you can't decide whether you ought to vote or not, I want you to call me personally. I want to talk to you. I want to convince you. I believe I can. I really do believe I can. So grab your phone. I want to hear from you immediately. Grab your phone. Lines are open. And the ladies are answering for your calls, and I'm looking to hear from you. I want to give you this booklet now. Hey, I give out the best booklets. I hear from people all over the world who get a hold of our booklets. We do these two P&As every month. We send them out free to everybody on our mailing list. Every month, two P&As we send out free to everybody on our mailing list. If you're not on it, you call right now and give it to the folks, or email it to me, jrc@paulcreek.org, and we'll put you on the mailing list, okay? Email me. Everybody out there that don't get these articles in the emails, you just send your address and your email to us, okay? Grab it right quick, paulcreek.org. Or send it to me, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, about voting. How would anybody ever convince themselves that they ought not to vote? When you don't vote, you vote for the worst of the crowd. You really do. You vote for the worst. And not vote is just unthinkable. I cannot imagine anybody not wanting to vote. I cannot remember a day in my life as a believer. I was saved at 16. And so I've never been able to understand or have any other desire but to do what is right and to be part of right. And you own the air. And may I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. What I was calling you about, somebody preaching on the internet or whatever that the Antichrist, that right after the rapture, is going to come up out of the lake of fire to rule the earth. I've never heard that one. Have you heard that?
No, that's not biblical.
I didn't think so.
No, the Antichrist will be a literal person. A literal person, a great political figure, a great military figure. He will be a literal person. He comes up out of the Middle East. He will be an Assyrian. The Antichrist is an Assyrian by birth. Literally, the area that is north of Iraq, that's the Syrian, ancient area of the Syrians. Now the Syrians are spread different places over the world. They have a big presence in northern Iraq. They have a big presence in southern Turkey. They have a big presence in Syria, or used to have. I don't know what they've got now after all the bloodshed there. They even have a big presence in America, and he will be an Assyrian. And he does not come out of the lake of fire. Now, you know, preachers are really lazy many times. They just study or they read something somebody else says and they get some kind of, you know, fire about it. Study the Bible. The Bible says over and over the Antichrist is an Assyrian.
Yes, sir. Let me ask you something. There's no one in the lake of fire right now. Is that correct?
Well, the Bible records nobody that's in the lake of fire right now.
What I thought.
There's nobody recorded as being in the lake of fire. The first ones will be the Antichrist and the false prophet. They'll be the first two that's cast into the lake of fire. And then, you know, there'll be multitudes at that time who will be going into the lake of fire. But nobody appears to be, as far as we know. Now, I believe the lake of fire is a place that will actually develop in the old ancient area of Babylon. I believe that the hell from beneath will just come up through the earth and it will find its boiling point in the ancient region of Babylon. Babylon. And you can find this, by the way, in the last chapter of Isaiah. If you'll go read it, what is it, 66? I'm trying to remember the last chapter of Isaiah. Let me go and find it right quick. In fact, let me read a word or two of it. Let me just read it. I mean, the Bible is a breathtaking book. I mean, it really is. Let me see. I don't know that I haven't marked it in here, so I may not be able to find it. And I won't try to read it. I won't try to read it. But it's right there. And go read in the book of Revelation, too. And you'll find reference to that in, again, chapter. Oh, you asked me a question here. I don't have it all committed to my brain, but that's because my brain is not quite as agile as it was when I was a young whippersnapper. You know, you get my age and things begin to change a little bit, but I think it's chapter 18. Here it is, chapter 18, the first verse. And he cried mightily with strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the host of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And he very clearly says in Revelation 18:2 that the lake of fire is going to be in the ancient area of Babylon. That's during the thousand-year millennial reign, because people will be able to see it during that period. But at the end of it, the Bible doesn't say where it will be. At the end of the thousand years, when the new heaven and the new earth take over the whole universe.
Yes, and it is a separate place from what we call hell.
It is a separate place from hell. Hell is a place of the present. The lake of fire is the place of the future. Those in hell will be judged at the white throne judgment and then cast into the lake of fire.
Yes. Okay. There, one more thing.
Okay.
This is the first week in 3 weeks that we've been able to get you on the Fairmont station.
Well, they had a technical problem. I got a hold of them this week, and something had gone out there. and the bosses in the headquarters had not even learned of it. They learned about it a day or two before I called them, and so they got it all fixed, and it should be all right from now on.
Yeah, everything's fine today, sir. I just want to let you know.
Are you hearing me talk about the election?
What about the election?
Yes. Probably not. I think you were hearing last week's program. I think they had to take last week's program off of the internet, and they'll have the new equipment this week.
Okay, that's good.
Thank you, sir, and God bless you. I'm glad you called. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Brother Joe, I want to ask you something real quick. I'm glad you're on the air. I've been missing you for the last 2 weeks.
I am so sorry. That breaks my heart when you folks down in the east don't hear me. We got a big family down there, brother. That's a 100,000-watt station, and it goes all the way to Lake City, South Carolina. I'm not really sure how much it covers, but it's certainly a huge span. And may I say to all of my friends there, welcome back. I'm so sorry you haven't been hearing us. Our programs have been good. Now, remember, we're on Facebook now. We're live on Facebook right now. At the same time, we are live on radio and internet, okay? And so every one of you need to get used, when something is wrong, to go into your internet or to your Facebook. On the internet, it's just paulcreek.org, and you'll stream down on the front, roll down, how you say it, scroll down is the right word. You scroll down on the front home page, and you'll find an icon there for Open Bible Dialogue, and all you got to do is click on it, and it goes straight to the live program at 1 o'clock every Saturday. And then, of course, Facebook, you just go to Joseph Chambers. Hey, go ahead, my friend.
I was wanting to know, when is the Battle of Armageddon? And I want to ask you one more thing. How many heavens are there?
How many heavens? Well, there's one heaven, but there's three tiers, okay? One heaven. We got heaven that is above us. Atmospheric heavens is the heavens where our planes fly, and it's where we get our light. And then there's a second heavens, which is where the prince of the power of the air now rules. But he only rules for a period until the rapture. And then he's thrown out of the second heavens and thrown down to the earth. And then there's third heavens is where God rules. So there's three heavens in that sense. But they're connected, see. Earth, midair, God's throne. Three levels. But the Bible calls it three heavens.
Let me ask you one more real quick.
Okay.
The Battle of Armageddon. Okay.
What's your question?
When is that supposed to happen?
The Battle of Armageddon is at the end of the 7 years of the Great Tribulation. When we are raptured, when the saints are raptured, we go to heaven, and there's a 7-year marriage supper. And we celebrate, and Jesus is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it appears that immediately after we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he mounts a white stallion, a white horse. And the saints mount their white stallion and their white horse. And we come back with him to reign on the earth 1,000 years. Now, we come back with him first, of course, for the Battle of Armageddon, to defeat the Antichrist, to defeat the false prophet, and to defeat the devil. But then he sets up his kingdom from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem becomes the capital of the whole earth, and we dwell on the earth. All the saints come back to dwell on the earth 1,000 years, and we turn this earth into a Garden of Eden for 1,000 years. And then the white throne judgment. And then, of course, the new heaven and the new earth, and new Jerusalem comes down from heaven on the earth. So the Battle of Armageddon is at the end of the 7 years and right before the 1,000-year millennial reign. You got that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God bless you, and I love you, sir. God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello?
Yes, you're there. May I help you, please?
Yes, yes. How you doing today, Pastor?
I'm just doing so wonderful. I'm just sitting here. Can't you tell? I bounce in my chair. I may be 80, but I still bounce in my chair.
I got a question. It's kind of a crazy question. I just wonder, have you ever heard anybody say that they felt like they've been prepared for 20 years for, I don't know whether to say it's a gift or a calling or something the Lord's put on my heart, but And keep in mind, I have disabilities, mental disabilities, but I'm a grown woman with five children. And I feel like that it's going to be my duty. And I love my Lord, Father, and Holy Spirit with all my heart and soul, mind. But I just feel like I'm going to be left behind for a reason.
No. Only the enemy could tell a Christian that they're going to be left behind during the tribulation period. No, he's not leaving you back here on this earth during that 7 years. No saints will stay here during those 7 years. He's not appointed you to wrath, but to the promise of his coming.
Yes, sir.
So that's the enemy talking to you. So reject it and bind it in the name of Jesus. And tell the enemy you don't believe nothing but what's in the Bible. You don't believe some imagination he puts in your head.
Well, I know back in 95, my grandfather, when he was still living, he was a good Christian man. He raised me, thank the Lord. And I had an episode where for 3 weeks, I lived in my mind the rapture. I lived it. It was real to me. Everything in me said that God had come back and I had been left behind.
Well, that was an imagination too. And that was a dark one. And it wasn't from the Lord.
Well, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, that I don't believe the Lord would have done it.
No, he would not, ma'am. You don't believe nothing that comes in your head if it's not in the Word. The Bible is how we judge everything. The Bible says, try the spirits, whether they be of God or whether they be of the enemy. And you always try the spirits, and there's number one criteria to try the spirits, and that's the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's say I love you. God love you.
I love you. I love my whole family. And I love my new family with Facebook. Hey, everybody on Facebook now, hold it there just a moment on line four. Hold it just a minute. Everybody on Facebook, have you yet mashed that share button so that it goes out to everybody's your friends? And let me tell you, as soon as the program is over, it will be then, even on Facebook, it will be recorded, I guess. I'm not sure how. But will be recorded, and you will be able to watch it for days. Last week is still on. And so you can share it when the program is over. Share it now, or share it when the program is over. And get everybody you can listening to these great truths. And get them to understand they've got to vote. They've got to vote. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Thank you for calling. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're on the air. I was still thinking about the last call. Go ahead, my friend. Good to have you.
Thank you so much for mentioning Elvis's beginning in a Holy Ghost church when he was a young man.
Oh, yes.
I think there are so many people, if the people who sit in churches, pseudo-Christians or churchgoers, only knew the truth behind Hollywood and politics and everything. I was in Meridian, Mississippi less than a month ago, and it's the home of Jimmy Rogers, who's basically the father of country and western music. And I found out about the Elvis. That was his first. He didn't even have enough money to stay in a hotel when he came to perform in the Jimmy Rogers Memorial Celebration at the high school in 1955. And Elvis was knew how he was being used by these people. The effect that he had on the teenage population was very, very, very well planned. And he knew he was being used. And I know from other people in the music business that early in the evening he would serve the devil by singing the music that the world likes, but he would insist, and a lot of them didn't like it, he would insist that his musicians stay with him. And for the latter part of the evening, on into the early wee hours of the morning, he would play gospel music as if he thought he could put cream in his coffee and offset serving the devil with singing God's music later on in the evening. And, of course, we both know that it doesn't work like that.
Did you know that Elvis Presley, when he would make a tape, would plan the studio where he was going to use at least a day in advance, maybe two, and they would sing gospel songs and just continue. And that's how he got in the right mood to sing before he would sing the songs of the world to seduce the world. And so it was a false spirit that would get a hold of him. He would first go to the right spirit, or try to. He didn't ever get there, really, but the best he could inside, because the soul of man is religious, you understand. Well, our Adamic nature is a religious nature. It's a religious nature because it was created by God. It can't be no way but religious. But it's false. It's fleshly centered. And that's what he would do. And the world is doing that. How many people do you know? How about the Hillary having this music at her campaign the last couple of days? Can you believe that she would bring in these kind of singers with words with the F word and the N word and all kinds of garbage like that, and people would even sit there and listen?
The people that love her the most know her the least. She is so unbelievable. The world would not even believe what people that work around her know about her.
You will eventually find out how bad she is. And I believe that Huma Abedin, I believe that's the right pronunciation, I believe that she is a spy from Saudi Arabia. And that she's been, the reason she had all of these emails, probably everything Hillary's ever had, she probably had on that laptop that they found. And what they will discover in that laptop is going to be breathtaking.
People who read the Bible have some inkling as to what's going on. The unsafe world are in a total delusion about all of this.
It's Antichrist, my friend, and I've got so many calls waiting. I have to move on. I love you, my friend, and God bless you. God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Well, that day is upon us, and the time is at hand, and the Spirit is searching throughout the land. He's looking for those who on his word still stand, and the bridegroom's ready, waiting for the Father's command. They call it the rapture. He's coming, brother.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Hey, quote those words again. I want to hear them again. They sound good to me.
Well, the day is upon us, and the time is at hand, and the Spirit is searching throughout all the land. He's looking for those who on his word still stand, and the bridegroom's ready, waiting for the Father's command. They call it the rapture.
Woo! You got me happy. Great day. I'm waiting for that rapture. And my vote on Tuesday is just something I'm doing to try to maintain. You see, the church still has the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's the restrainer. And so it's the church united with the Holy Ghost that restrains the Antichrist. And we have a right to restrain the Antichrist until the rapture takes place.
He can't do what he wants to until we're taken out of the picture. The Holy Ghost is holding him back.
That's exactly right. And somebody says, well, Brother Chambers, you know, if you're voting, the Antichrist is coming. I said, I know that, but I don't want him to come while I'm here. And so I'm going to stand against everything that looks like him until I'm gone.
We got to stand up, not back down until the last breath, until he calls us the twinkling of an eye, and we change to that glorified body.
I wouldn't back down for nothing the devil's got. I don't have a price, and you don't have a price. But there's a multitude out there that's already sold out to cheap prices. Cheap prices. God bless you, sir.
Straining a gnat and swallowing an elephant.
Yeah. God bless. Bye-bye. You're on the air. May I help you, please? Well, they're gone, and I can understand. Hey, call quickly. Good calls. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. Hey, this program has been great. Now, have you voted? And are you going to vote? Don't you out there tell me you're not going to vote. I love you. You're special to me. You're special to me. But don't tell me you're not going to vote. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you're not going to vote. If you belong to Jesus, you have a response. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's. That's a command. That's a command. Did you notice? That's a command. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir, Reverend Chambers. First of all, I wanted to say that I'm picking you up on WSTS loud and clear. And second, I want to say thank you for being faithful. And the third thing I want to say is God did not call us to wrath. And the fourth thing I wanted to say was somewhere in the 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, it says that the Holy Spirit, once it leaves, it says that the lawless one
will be revealed.
Be revealed, and then the tribulation starts.
Exactly right.
So that man that called previously, he is, I'm sorry to say, dead wrong.
Well, I don't remember which one you're speaking of, but we won't go back to it. It's a joy to have you. You're my friend, okay?
Okay. Thank you for being faithful.
I don't want nothing else. I love being faithful to my King. Hey, folks, it's been a joy. I got about 8 or 9 minutes here, and I want you on the line. All of my Facebook folks, I hope you've loved this program today. And it's going to get better week by week. We're going to deal with every subject possible. Again, I want to say to everybody, nail old self to the cross, will you? Nail old self to the cross and live a Christ-centered life. The only life worth living is the life lived for Jesus. And you on the air, may I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Chambers, could you please explain the difference between Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and Revelation 6 chapter?
Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 is the rapture. The rapture takes place at the beginning of chapter 4. John is caught up to heaven. That's a type of the coming rapture. He sees the saints around the throne of God. He couldn't see them there if they weren't there. So they've already been raptured. That's occurring simultaneously. Revelation 6, chapter 1, is a picture of the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period, where Jesus opens the seven-sealed book and the tribulation period begins. So chapter 4 and chapter 5 is a celebration in heaven. The saints have arrived. They're there around the throne. Jesus takes the book from the Father, which has the seven-sealed revelation tribulation in it, and he opens it, chapter 6, and the tribulation period starts.
Well, praise the Lord.
Do you understand that clearly?
Yes.
Thank you, and God bless you, dear lady. You are precious to me. Let me see where you are. All right. Call quickly. We've got lines open, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. I want to give you this booklet. It's really powerful. Nailing self to the cross and the altar. Nailing self to the cross and the altar. Everybody out there needs it. I'm telling you, you need it. Now, everybody listening by Facebook, we will be here, barring, problems. We'll be here every Saturday. And so you need to tell your friends, if you haven't already shared it, as soon as the program is over, it will be recorded. I don't know how they do that, but it goes from live to being a record. And then it's available 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And you share it. Share it, and let's see if we can reach a couple thousand before today's over, will you? That listen and view this great program and hear the necessity of voting and the necessity of living a Christ-centered life. It really goes together. Did you know that? Living a godly life, being salt and light on the earth, being salt and light, being a light, being a blessing, being a part of society, helping hold the devil at bay, helping hold wickedness back. See, the church with the Holy Ghost is the restrainer. So if you don't vote, you're not being a restrainer. You're not being part of the restraining power. You're resisting a call that's on the bride, is to be part of the restraint of the Antichrist until we're out of here in the rapture. Does that make sense? That's about as clear as I know how to make it. You are part of the bride. You're part of the church. The Holy Spirit is within us. The restrainer is the Holy Spirit in the church. And so we are restraining the Antichrist. If you don't vote, then you're not part of the restrainer. You're doing damage to the name of Jesus. You're doing disgrace to the call of Christ. You're doing resisting the power of the Holy Spirit that was given you to hold the devil back. I think I'm making sense. I hope I am. I know I am, really. Hey, God bless your heart. Please get ready to meet the King. Now, I want to see if there's any more calls. Let me check while I'm waiting on your calls and see if there are any. I don't want to hit the wrong thing here. Boy, I have done that too many times. Let me see here if I can find. Are there any other emails? Well, here's one that says Bible. I see so many different versions of the Bible these days. Which do you recommend and use? The King James Version. There is no really excellent version in English but the King James. There's some that's not quite as bad as others, but the King James is still authorized. Remember that word, authorized version? That means it came from the oldest dependable manuscripts that are available, and it was done in purity by godly men. And you can depend on the King James Bible. God bless you. Pray for America. I promise you, James, I'm going to pray for America with all of my heart. I'm trying to see if I have any other. I don't think I do. All right, I want to hear from you. You are important to me, okay? And so quickly get a hold of me if you have a question. I will enjoy answering your question. You know that. You know I'm going to enjoy answering your question. I always enjoy answering your question. You don't have to worry about me. I'm here for you. I'm here because I love you. I'm here because you're important to me. You really are. I'm here because you're important to me. Now, I got to get some music here ready. I want to bless you. I want to tell you something, church. We're almost home. Did you know that? We're almost home. Any moment now, we're going to be there. And what a day that's going to be. Hey, any more calls, I want to hear from you. You are important to me. You are very important to me. And if you will call, I will do my best to make sure you are answered and you are blessed. And that's what I want to do. I want to bless you. Okay? Now, I think I got that ready. We'll come back to that in a moment. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. The lines are open. My good people are standing by. I want you to be part of this program. I want you to tell your friends. I want to make sure you vote on Tuesday. I think I've told you enough to make sure you vote on Tuesday. I've done my best. Now, I want to tell you also, I want you to live a Christ-centered life. I want you to nail old self to the cross. I want you to nail old self to the cross. I tried to write down all the things I wanted to say and haven't got them all said. So I'm just telling you, you've got to live a life committed to Christ, committed to the saving power of the Lord. Now, I'd love to have you in church tomorrow. I preach the word with all my heart. If you'll come to church tomorrow, you'll be glad you came and your life will be blessed. 5110 Tuckasegee Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Go to our website, has a map on it, paulcreek.org. That's paulcreek.org. Send me any request you have at jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. And I want everybody listening to me to become a partner, to become a partner. I need you as a partner. I need you to help me pay the bills. It's been real tight the last few days for some reason. Had to borrow some money to make the monthly payment. And I need your help. I really do need your help. I get very little, I don't get any salary. I get a little expense money. But, you know, we're okay. Mom and I live on our Social Security. We're ready to go up in the rapture. Our house is paid for. Her truck is paid for. My car will be paid for in a little over a year. And so we're just happy, folks. We just love the King, and we love you. Oh, we love. I'm so happy about my Facebook family. I really am. I have a big Facebook family now, and it's overwhelming to have all of you. Now share it with your friends when this program is over. If you haven't already done it, you got to share it. Are you listening to me? You got to share it. I'm requesting that of you. I'm requiring that of you. Now I love you. You've been a blessing. I've had a great program. I've loved every minute of it. Don't miss next Saturday. Remember the sermon tomorrow. I'd love for you to have that and enjoy it. I know it would be a blessing to your soul. I know it would be a blessing to your soul. Now, God bless you. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. May you walk with Him, and may you obey Him, and may you please Him. My joy to bless you.
Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. We're not home yet, children, so keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, then we'll sit down beside that river. How I long to be with Jesus and my loved ones gone before. There's a better day a coming. We're not home yet. Thank you.
and take me over the sea. So I'll keep watching and waiting in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. Just a few more days to labor. They will sit down beside that river. How I long to be with Jesus and my loved ones gone before. There's a better day a coming. We're not home yet. We're not home. Keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor. They will sit down beside that river. How I long to be with Jesus and my loved ones.